Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Let me just do this, if I may. I'm going to give you a title. We're going to get ready. Anybody ready for the word of the Lord out there today? Like I said earlier, we've already been touched by the Spirit of God. For most churches, you can go home now, but that's not the way the Rock is, and you'll find out why in just a moment. Here's the title of a message if you're making notes, and you really should be making notes. Why we are the way we are. What do I mean by that? Well, you are a certain way. You do a certain thing. You know, there's some people that got saved and they still worried like they did before they got saved. There's some people that were, if you will, are angry and they're still angry after they got saved. And some of the things that we do all the time. Have anxiety, have frustrations, lack of faith, operate in fear. All the things that we do on a constant basis. Why we are the way we are. As we look at the word of the Lord today, it's really a fabulous message of understanding on why you are, what God wants to do about it in order to get you where he wants to get you, it for, so that he can really ultimately bless you, and by the way, use you in a mighty way. I'm gonna take you line upon line, precept upon precept. That's how we teach here on Sunday mornings. We're in the Word of God, Hebrews, the 10th chapter. You ought to learn it because God wrote it that way. And when you write it that way, he's writing it that way so that we can learn it that way. Instead of just picking out little things here and little things there, why not understand what God is saying? And over the years, we've seen the body of Christ develop into some greater levels of maturity because they understand the Word of God. So as we look at the Word of God today, we're going to look at some things that are going to be absolutely fabulous. Follow me. Don't let your mind wander. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, starting verse 13. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their mind, and I will write them. Then he added, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Here's the point. Of all of these verses, here's what it comes down to saying, this last verse. When Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for you as a sacrificial lamb, paid the price for your sins, it changed everything. And where the Old Testament had to have the high priest on a daily basis, even monthly and annually also in bigger events, had to constantly come in and do something, some kind of a sacrificial work. Here's Jesus once and for all did what he did. And you don't have to because the sins are taken care of and the issue is dealt with. He has now done some great and mighty marvelous things. And it's over with. You don't have to do it again. There's nobody going to the cross again. If somebody says there needs to be more sacrifice, not even on your part to get you to heaven. That's not the issue. The issue is the sacrifice has been done once and for all. But there's an interesting verse here, if I may take you to verse number 14 of this wonderful section of scripture. In verse 14, it says this, for by one offering he, notice the capital words he and the word there, that's Jesus. Listen to this. He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Now, wait a minute. He has perfected forever, made perfect forever those who are in. The word sanctified means set apart to God. It means you're different than the rest of the world. You're in the world, that's why the Word of God says this, but you're not of the world. You're set apart to God. You now belong to God. You've been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, sins are no longer the issue. The issue is now it is a done deal. They're forgotten. Nobody has to go to the cross for you anymore. He has made you perfect as far as being spiritual, but there's something else that's taking place. Notice the word being sanctified. In other words, there's a process going on of sanctification. It's being separate unto God. You got to hear me now. I am not saying there's a process for salvation. I'm not saying there's a process going on to get you to heaven. That's what I'm talking about. The blood and the grace of God did that. But there's a process to the other side of the coin. You got to understand that you're like a two-sided coin. Here it is. One side is the blood paid the price for you. He's made you perfect in Christ Jesus. The other side of you, and here's the problem, you still live in the flesh. One side is a position. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. As long as I'm in Jesus, I'm washed. As long as I'm in Jesus, I'm free. As long as I'm in Jesus, I have His grace. As long as I'm in Jesus, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father. But the other side of the coin says, I'm still living in this fleshly body. That screws up from time to time. Anybody been a Christian and ever screwed up? Don't raise your hand. We all have. We all have. And this is a part that a lot of people don't understand. If you don't, listen to this. If you don't understand this, then you get frustrated with God because you don't understand why your prayers aren't being answered. And you get discouraged thinking maybe you're not saved. And you realize that you're in a process on that side of the flesh, getting rid of the flesh so that you can be more like Jesus. And you don't understand that, so you give up on God. And they don't come back to church. They don't do anything. So here we find these words. And by the way, the word being sanctified isn't in every translation, but it's in a few. And it's rightfully translated like this in the New King James, being translated. In other words, there's a process going on in your physical body. You know, a process is something that takes place. I go to a hamburger stand, I order a hamburger, they build me a hamburger. There's a process. They take the bun, they take the onions, they take the lettuce, they take the mustard, mayonnaise, ketchup, they take the meat, they take the cheese, they put it together, put the other side of the bun. There's a process going on that builds the hamburger. I didn't get the hamburger when I ordered it right away. There was a process going on. And that's what he says right here. There is a part of you that is being in process to the place where you're set apart unto the Lord. So you're kind of like a two-part person. And if you understand that, then God is not finished with you, then you can be patient with other people and love people because God's not finished with me. In other words, the blood has got me where I need to go. The grace of God has taken me to heaven. I'm saved in washed blood. When Jesus sees me, when the Father sees me, he sees Jesus. And when he sees you, he sees Jesus. But I'm still living in this body that from time to time only relates with what it knows. And if I keep doing this, I find myself in a horrible place. In fact, stop and think about what the Word of God has to say, if you will. Let's take a look at Ephesians, the second chapter. Let me pop it up on the overhead for you in verse number 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, and which he loved us, verse number 5, watch this, even when we were dead in our trespasses, listen to this, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been, saved. But who are you together with? Christ. Now let's go to verse number 6. He says, and raised us together with Christ. When Christ raised from the dead, we raised from the dead. You say, how does that work? I wasn't back there. It's just a spiritual thing. You're spiritually raised from the dead and made us to sit. I'm not sitting with Christ. I'm in this chair right now. No, you're at the right hand of the Father right now, spiritually with Jesus Christ. That's the spiritual side of you. Watch this. It's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My, that's amazing. So one side of me is with Jesus, the other side of me is still here on earth, and while I'm here on earth, listen to this, I have to learn how to be like Jesus. Is anybody listening? That's why Romans, the 12th chapter, verse number 2, I'll just put it up on the overhead for you. Listen to the words. Here's the encouragement from Paul the Apostle at Roman Church. He makes this statement, do not be conformed to this world. In other words, the world wants to conform you. The world wants to tell you what to do. All the politicians, all the people, news media, CNN, Fox News, whatever, the gossip channels, they all want to get into your life and tell you how to think, how to do, and how to be. Don't be conformed to the world. But then he comes along and he makes a statement. Now listen to this, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, why would he make that statement if you automatically got transformed when you got saved? You didn't get transformed. Now he tells you to be transformed. So be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen to this, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So all of a sudden, here's this two sides. One, I'm saved, seated at the right hand of the Father. Now watch this. The other side of me, I'm still living in an earth suit, and that's where I have anger, frustrations. That's where I know. So a guy comes to church with his wife. His wife tells him the night before, and he says, listen, if you don't go to church with me and get saved, I'm sick and tired of your junk. I'm sick and tired of your attitude. I'm sick and tired of your cheating ways. You better get saved or I'm dumping you. He thinks to himself, man, I better go get saved because I don't want to pay the price of a divorce. So he comes to church and gets saved. Then he goes home and he's still a rotten, dirty slob. You know why he's a rotten, dirty slob? Because his mind has not been yet transformed. And we expect people when they get saved to instantaneously be, oh, the grace made me perfect. I'm sorry it didn't. It just got you right with God. Now, it's your call to do the difference. Is anybody listening? So this tells us that there's something to deal with besides just the relationship with God. How about a relationship with myself so that I can understand where I'm at and how I clean myself up? Someone might say to you, well, what is this important? Who cares? I understand. Why would you want to even care? Why would you want to? If you don't understand the importance of this and how it works, you will just go along all your life doing nothing with God and for God, and who knows where that ends up. Now stop thinking about what I'm going to say to you. I want to take you to the wonderful scriptures Paul writes. He writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy. And let's start with verse number 19. Here Paul is writing to Timothy. Remember, we're talking about being sanctified. The reasons why you are the way you are. Yes, if you're saved, you're washed by the blood. Yes, if you're saved, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, if you're saved, you're seated at the right hand of the Father. Yes, if you're saved, sins are forgiven and forgotten. Yes, if you're saved, no more necessary means for anybody to offer for you. You're right with God, you got it. But the other side of the coin is I'm still living in my fleshly body doing the things I think I like doing instead of doing the things that God would have me to do. And I know sometimes it's wrong, but I just keep doing them. Paul writes in Romans, the 7th chapter, I keep doing what I know not to do, but I keep doing them. Oh, wicked man that I am, who shall, now this is Paul the Apostle, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Who should deliver me from this? And he says, Jesus Christ. So here he comes along and he makes this statement. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Can I just say something real quick about the little side note? If you're going to put your life in something, don't you think you ought to put it in something that stands? Why would you put it in something that's wishy-washy? Why would you put it in, did you hear the news last week? Our army is being depleted and taken down. Why would you put your trust in something that's here today and gone to Maui? Why would you put your trust in a bank? Does anybody ever remember Security Pacific? How about Washington Mutual? Where are they? But here's one you can invest your life in that stands. And it's got a top. Here's something that's really neat about God. He says, as solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, here's a seal that's on it, which is great. The Lord knows who's his. I don't. The Lord knows. I'm not the judge of that. Because sometimes I see the ugly side of somebody when they're really right with God. But then again, if the ugly side of somebody continues, then I doubt if they're really right with God. Is anybody listening? Having this seal, the Lord knows who's his. Let everyone who names the name of Christ do something. Three words. Depart from iniquity. Three things. He says, wait a minute. If I'm saved and I'm a Christian, then the Word of God says that I should, if I name the name of Jesus, there's three things I should do. Depart from iniquity. Three words. In other words, the responsibility of dealing with this side of the coin, my flesh, my practice, is now my responsibility. Is anybody listening? But it goes on in verse number 20. But in a great house, let's stop right there, look back at me. In a great house is kind of an interesting comment. It means anywhere where there's a large gathering of people. It could be a city, it could be a nation, it could be this church. In a great house, there's all kinds of different people is what he's going to say. There's some of you in here that are great, some of you aren't so great. Some of you are saved, some of you aren't saved. Some of you think you're saved, but you're really not saved. Some of you think you're doing okay with God, but you're really not doing okay with God. When you find out, see, in the great house, there's all kinds of different people. And he makes this statement. Now, keep in mind what we're talking about is sanctification of that position that you have. In other words, we're doing something. We're learning how to do something, and we're learning how to be what Jesus would have us to be for a reason. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, watch this, but also wood and clay, some of honor, some of dishonor. Didn't say they weren't saved. Just say they don't get a lot of honor. They're dishonorable. They took their life, did nothing with it. No, wait a minute. You have one life, you ought to do something with it. If you're going to do something with God, you're going to have to do something with your life. Now watch this. The verse is great. Let's see what it says and let's expand the thought just a little bit more by going to verse number 21. In verse number 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses. Wait a minute. I thought when I got saved, I was cleansed. You were of your sins spiritually. But physically, I'm still walking in this body that wants to do stuff that I don't want to do. Paul writes in the 7th chapter of Romans. If anyone cleanses himself from the latter, what latter? From the wood and clay and dishonor, meaning I can change? I can change from the wood and clay and produce something better that's not dishonor, but honor? If anyone changes or cleans himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor. And I love the next word, set apart, sanctified. Watch this. And useful for the master. Prepared for every good work. In other words, you're not prepared until you become gold, silver vessel that has cleansed up yourself. In other words, Jesus cleansed me spiritually, but I'm walking around in this earth suit. Now I got to get it lined up. And here's the bottom line. I am learning while I'm here on earth how to be like he has made me. Let me say it again. I am learning how to be on earth what he has made me. I am learning how to be what Jesus paid the price for me to be. Not to stay the same, but to be what he wants me. But why? Because he wants to use me for every good work. If you don't want that, you don't do that, then you become a vessel of clay and of wood. And may I say this to you? It's not one of honor, but dishonor, because God could have used you throughout your entire life on this planet, but you didn't do anything. Amen. That's pretty shocking. Is anybody listening? So it's important for all of us to understand that this is really an issue for every one of us. And that's why we are what we are, because we're a two-sided people. We're cleansed by the blood, but we're still walking around in an earth suit. And how do we learn how not to walk around in this earth suit? How do I learn how to control my flesh? How do I learn how to take my practice and make it qualified for my position? That's a very important question. So let's talk about it just for a few moments. Learning how to be like Jesus, very important. How to correct my earthly ways. If you want to know how to correct your earthly ways so that you can be a vessel of honor, used by God, and blessed, I might add, because God never uses you without blessing you, then you need to listen. Two simple things that'll help you and help me. How to correct my earthly ways. Number one, the Word of God is my guide. Wait a minute. I gotta know how to do this. Everybody wants to be my guide. Everybody wants to tell me what to do and how to do it. The ecologists come and tell me what to do and how to do it. Believe in this, believe in that, pour your money into this. The economists want me to do this, do that. Television wants me to do this and do that. Every product that's out there wants to brainwash you to buy their Cheerios or drive their automobile. Everybody's trying to tell you and I what to do. Remember he said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What in the world are you going to renew your mind to? You're going to renew it to that person's opinion. You're going to renew it to that person's opinion. I don't really give a flip about that person's opinion. Who are we renewing our mind to? We got to renew our mind to the Word of God. May I say this to you? It is the B-I-B-L-E that is the inspiration of God. Yes, it's written by man, but God used man to write it, but it's really God speaking to us. And if you don't believe that, you're in trouble right off the bat, because get ready to be wood, clay, and dishonored. Come on, somebody. And so when you come into this church that I pastor and you don't carry a Bible, I'm gonna be at the back door and knock the snot right out of you. And I might be 70 years old, but I'm as tough as nails. Because this is a Bible preaching Word of God church. And don't dishonor God by not carrying your Bible to church, because I want you to know something. This is not a Reader's Digest suggestion that'll get you by in life. You better put the eternal Word of God to work each and every day of your life. And if you don't know it, you won't do it. And you'll stay as vessels of dishonor. You'll make it to heaven if you're saved, but you won't make it with any honor. And how crappy is that? Now listen closely to what I'm going to say to you. Jesus prays a prayer. I don't know about you, but when Jesus talks to the Father, I have a real hard time believing the Father saying, you know, are you bothering me again, son? I've answered your prayers yesterday. I'm not going to answer your prayers. I don't agree with that prayer. I want you to know something. Jesus said, the words that I speak are not my words, but he that sent me. When you see me, you see the Father. They were in such unity together. When Jesus spoke to the Father, it was the very heartbeat of the Father. And I have a hard time believing that when Jesus spoke, the Father didn't say, absolutely, it will be done. Now, when Jesus prays this prayer in John, the 17th chapter, you need to go there. See, if you don't have a Bible, you can't go there. You can't make notes. All you do is sit and stare at me and let your mind wander. In John, the 17th chapter, listen to what Jesus says about you. Can you imagine that? Jesus is going to talk about you. So watch what he says in John the 17th chapter. Let's look at verse 14. In verse 14, I have given them, Father, your life, myself, your love, your sacrifice. I have given them my blood. I have given them my personality. I've given them my miracles. He could have done any of that and we'd all accept it. But he doesn't. He makes a statement to the Father. Father, I've given them your, what is the word? Word. So reason how important the Word of God is. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. In other words, you're going to be different than the world. They're not going to like you. Get in the habit of realizing that you're weird to the world. And you know what? When you're weird to the world, you're on the right track. And if the world comes along and says, well, you're just like me, you need to get saved. Is anybody listening? Verse 15. And he says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Isn't that a funny statement? In other words, he just said, I gave them your word, and now I want you to keep them from the evil one. Now, wait a minute. How we get kept from the evil one who hates your guts, wants to destroy your home, family, business, finances, dreams, vision, wants to destroy, discourage you, wants to keep you down and out, wants to keep you down, busted, disgusted in every area. He hates your guts because you're called a Christian. May I say this to you? And the only defense you're going to have from the evil one is the word of God. And he says, I have given them your word, and I want you to keep them from the evil one. So as you use the word of God, it'll keep you in a place. Now, but then he goes on and says, verse 16, watch this. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world, says it two times. Verse 17, sanctify them by your suggestions. Sanctify them by what the television says. I know. Sanctify them by the Lego movie. Sanctify them by what they're doing and how much money they have in their bank account. Sanctify them by giving them a good job. Sanctify them by giving them money. Sanctify them by bringing them into blessing. Not a chance. Sanctify them how? By your truth. And your word is what? Truth. Now, wait a minute. Do you realize there's a lot of truth out there? Yeah, there is. The world has its own truth. People have their own truth. The job you work at has its truths about that job. But if you want truth about life, how to do life, you're going to have to go to the Word. And the Word has got to be your guide. It'll help you with your home, family, children, finances, dream, vision, destiny, purpose, and existence, and why you're here. That's what this is all about. And so many times we get into a place not realizing that, you know, I need truth to live my life by, to stand on, to keep going on. No matter what comes at me, I stand on the truth. If I don't have the word of God, it's not going to be that way. The guy talked to me yesterday. He might be in the service or last week. He says, Pastor, I just want to ask you one question. It's back in the newcomers area. And he said, I said, what is that question? He says, why do I have to go to church? I know it's just to show God that I love him, right? And I said, no. I mean, that's a great way you go to church. But you go to church to develop to a place of maturity, so that you can be used by God, so that God can open doors. He can be seen by God, so you can have a life that changed. God has a purpose for you. If you don't know what the purpose is, how can you ever get there? God has a plan for you. If you don't know what the plan is, how will you ever make it? God has a promised land for you. How will you ever even know how to get to the promised land if you're taking the wrong roads? Therefore, you need to know what the truth is that'll take you and your family to where God wants you to be, because when you're with God wants you to be, that's where you get blessed. We could have shut the service down after people touched the hearts today. When we all came and bowed our knees before the Lord, the Spirit of God was heavy in this place, but it wouldn't have done the job, because every time we gather together, we've got to go to the truth. What God says is different than what the world says, and as I apply it in my life, it changes my world. I'll just tell you this quickly up front. Paul the Apostle, the writer of two-thirds of the New Testament. Now stop, think about it. Writer of two-thirds. More people read his writings on a daily basis than all the literature on the planet. How'd you like to be that author? One of the greatest apostles that ever walked on the planet. And disciple of Jesus Christ. He writes this in Philippians, the second chapter. He says it a number of times. Listen to this. I have not obtained, but I press on to the high calling of God. If he hadn't obtained, then where are we? Grace got me saved, but it didn't change my flesh. Changing the flesh is my responsibility, so I can be a vessel of gold, a vessel of silver, and a vessel of honor to be used for the master in any way that he wants me to use it. Paul says, I have not attained. He knew that. My goodness sakes alive. Just powerful. Second thing, we're talking about how to correct our earthly ways. Number one, the word is our guide. But here's number two. The Holy Spirit has got to empower the word. The two together make something happen. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. The two together make something happen. So many times we leave the Holy Spirit out of what we do. You know, I'll make a confession. I'll speak to myself. I'll say, I'm healed by the stripes of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I'm pushing 70 years old, and I walk up these hills in Redlands, and I'm walking, and I'm feeling pain and stiffness. And I'll say, I'm healed by the stripes of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's no change at all. I still am stiff. I still hurt. I still starting to limp. My foot starts to hurt. My knees start to hurt. The joints start to hurt. And then all of a sudden, recently, I started saying, Holy Spirit, hear me. I am healed by the stripes of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that foot hurts right now. My right one up on top. And this calf hurts back here. And the back hurts back here. Could you relieve the pain so I could get my exercise? Bang! And oftentimes what we do is we'll say the word of God, but did not Jesus say, I have sent you the comforter who you will need that will comfort you? So the one who brings comfort to me is when I put to work the Holy Spirit in my life. Is that not true? There's this analogy in the fifth chapter of Ephesians by husband and wife, how the husbands take care of the wife, but he uses the Bible, he uses the church, Jesus and the church as the analogy. Let me take you there, if I may. Fifth chapter, let me pop it up, verse number 26. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse. Wait a minute. I thought grace just got me sanctified. It did. On the spiritual side, but you're still living in this fleshly body. You listen to me. Sanctified and second thing, cleansed. Well, I thought if I'm set apart by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and that sacrifice on that cross at Calvary, I am cleansed. You are. Spiritually, but you're still living in that fleshly body. If that's not true, then why do you use that as an example? Sanctified and cleanse her, speaking of the church, with the washing of the water. Well, first thing, by the word. Second thing, the word. See the words washing of the water? Every time you see that in the Holy Spirit is the water in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, you'll see that the Holy Spirit represents water. That we'll sing songs in this rain on us. It's the water of the Holy Spirit. Everybody knows that, at least you should know that. So when you read the scripture, it tells us something. It tells us there's a sanctification and a cleansing that's going to take place of the church, and it's going to be by two things, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Now listen to this. I'm going to take you to scripture. Jesus is talking in John 8th chapter, verse number 31. Jesus makes this statement. And Jesus said to the Jews who believed him. Now these are people that are believers. Does anybody have a doubt that they believed him? It says Jesus spoke to those who what did what? Believed him. And he makes this statement. He says, if you abide in my grace, my sanctification, my sacrifice, my blood, so he's given us direction on what it is. The word abide means to live, stay, dwell. If you live stay, dwell. That's, I mean, not just visit. Not just on Sunday morning. But you live and you stay and you dwell in my word. Then he says, you are my disciples without a doubt. But verse 32 comes along and makes a brilliant statement. And you shall, because you live, stay, and dwell in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall, and the truth shall. Wait a minute. If I got free when I got saved, what's he talking about? There's a lot of people that call them Christians, and they're not free. Have you ever seen anybody that's a Christian? They're not, they're free spiritually going to heaven. They're wiped sin, sins away. There's no doubt the redemption has paid the price. There's nobody has to go to the cross for them anymore. It is a done deal, over with, shadow with, over with, complete. Jesus did the job of redemption. Nobody ever has to do it again. But here's where we misunderstand. We still live in an earth suit. And he says the truth. Talking about those that are believers shall make you free. So Jesus sets you free so you can make the choice to follow his truth, which is his word, that'll make you free. Because until you are set free, you don't have the choice to be made free. Which brings you, hold on. Let me take you to John 8:36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed, means every area. So now you can make the choice as to whether or not you're going to follow his word, which is truth, that'll set you free. If you're not following the word, you're going to keep on anger, keep on frustrated, keep on cussing, keep on having your flesh run your life, keep on depressed, discouraged, hating life, wondering why there's never any change. The dirty, rotten husband that got saved is still a dirty, rotten husband and never changes. A filthy, dirtbag wife that needs to get changed never changes whatsoever. When you're stupid when you got saved, you're still stupid afterwards until you get that which is truth that makes you smart. And that's why we do what we do. In the meantime, we've got a whole bunch of stupid people that come along and say, I'm saved, but I'm still doing rotten garbage stuff. And all, instead of helping them to get into the right thing to do, we say, you can't be saved. Of course they're doing stupid stuff. They don't know anything else to do. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Until your mind is renewed to the truth, which is his word, empowered by the Holy Spirit, you're going to keep on keeping on doing the junk. But if you want to get out of the junk and do that which brings you to being a vessel that God can use for blessings and people around you, you apply the truth with the word of God and know that he's cleaning you up. And where people fail is they stop in the process and they have a bun, lettuce, mayonnaise, and ketchup, ain't no meat. And that's the problem. And they make an excuse, they don't have to do anything. And that's trash theology. And we'll end up, I don't know where they end up, I'm not the judge. But I don't think it'll be good. I know this, vessel of dishonor, when you could have been a vessel of honor. You're called. See, I can only preach with veins popping out of my neck, yelling and screaming, huffing and puffing, moving my legs in every direction, trying to keep you awake. So you get this. But it isn't until you finally make the decision, I understand, I need to make some changes. And the changes I'm going to make is not what Pastor Jim says, but what God's word says. And I'm going to learn what God's word says. Until then, there will never be any changes. Hey, Remember, I just want to finish this. I'm gone way too long. Remember how we heard this before? That stupidity is when you do the same thing over and over again. Is that what it was? Stupidity? Insanity, when you do the same thing over and over again. Remember Albert Einstein said that? And you expect the same results. The only thing that insanity is when the world does the same thing. When you do the same thing over and over again, you can expect different results because God gets in there. He loves consistency. And you're different than the world. Are you following me? Come on, if God spoke to you today, give the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.